Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
So you're walking through the woods one day, and you hear a sound. You turn around, and suddenly you're looking at something you don't even know what it is. You are listening to Bigfoot, Ground Zero. If you've had a sighting and would like to tell your story, email me at BigfootGroundZero@gmail.com. All right, let's get this show started. My name is Dave. You're listening to Bigfoot Ground Zero, Episode 1. Hopefully of many episodes to come. But before we get started and go too far down the road here, I wanted to give some thanks and shout out to some people that have been inspirational to me in getting my podcast going, and that is Wes, Woody, and Will over at Sasquatch Chronicles. They might not know it, but they were huge. I mean, they were really motivational. And one of the first things I learned when I went to put this together was it's not easy. Trust me on that. And guys, you do a really great job, and you do make it look easy. So let's get right into the program. I have three interviews queued up, all relating to a sighting that happened a couple of months ago at Betty's Neck in Lakeville, Massachusetts. And Denise, Michaela, and Tony were all kind enough to come forward and share the experience. Now, Tony's experience happened a little bit afterwards, but what it does is it ties into the first two. And it's almost the exclamation point at the end of the sentence, and you'll see why in a little bit, and we'll kind of get into that. But I wanted to put all these stories together, and it's interesting to see how everyone's perspective of the event was slightly different. The stories didn't change, but the details that came out were interesting. One person noticing this, the other person noticing this, and they all make sense. So let's go ahead and get to the first interview. This is Denise Wood. Again, it's out of Lakeville, Massachusetts, Betty's Neck.
All right, my name is Denise Finley, and today is 8/24/14.
Okay. So, Denise, thanks for telling me your story. I really appreciate it. I think that there's a lot of people that need to know or think that there's Sasquatch out there. It's nice to find people who are credible, mm-hmm. that have had the experience, that could speak to it. And I know you've had a couple sightings, one in Macon, Georgia, and then also one here at Betty's Neck in Lakeville, Massachusetts. So why don't you take us through that night that you were with Michaela, set it up, why you were there,
All right. What
the Sasquatch was doing, yada, yada, yada.
So
take it away.
We originally started in Fairhaven, wasn't getting anything, so Michaela, myself, and Guy went to Betty's Neck.
Okay.
We get up there, and we went to go let the dogs out. So Tucker, he took off down the road, and Copper and Annie stayed with us, and like within, I wasn't even 5 minutes that we were there, the police pulled up. So the cop pulls up and he says, oh, you know, we got sensors and trail cams out here because we don't want the kids up here and there's been a lot of stuff going on and whatever. So
sure.
We were like,
yeah.
All right, so he's standing, but he wouldn't come away from his cruiser. He was standing right next to cruiser, hand on his gun, but he wasn't looking at us. He was watching the tree line and he was like, oh, so you guys are running dogs? Yep, we're running dogs. He's like, all right, well, you guys should be all right. There's dogs there. You got dogs. So I was like, that's a little weird, you know, why would he even say that? But all right, it's cool.
Sure.
So he leaves and she's got the GPS on Tucker, so we're watching him, and Copper wouldn't leave, and Annie, she jumped back in the box all by herself. She didn't want to go in the woods, wouldn't want to go nowhere near the woods. So.
Which is abnormal for a coon dog?
Yeah, they normally will go out in the woods and just take off. So.
Yeah.
She jumped back in the truck, and we were standing there. We heard some crazy kind of noise going on. It, to me, was nothing I've ever heard, so it was different.
Can you describe the sound? Or?
It almost sounded like a screech owl, except for it was deeper. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But, like, you know what I mean? You could tell it wasn't a screech owl, but it was something.
A little deeper. Okay.
Yeah, a little deeper. So, anyways, so we were up there for a little bit, and then Guy decided he was going to go down fishing. So, we were watching Tucker on the thing, and it said he was down further, so we decided he was getting far away, so we were going to go down there and, you know, check him out. So, we started going down, and he fell off the GPS system. We didn't know why, but he did. So then we were like, well, now we can't, you know, track him, so we got to try and find him. So sure. Her and I go back up top. We get up back up top, and I had to go to the bathroom. She had to go to the bathroom, so we get out. I go. She comes around and starts to go, and all of a sudden we hear this heavy coming through the woods.
So now you're back at the parking
lot. We're back up at the same spot where we let them out at, back up top of Betty's neck.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you're good. So we hear this noise coming through the woods. She's like, oh, that might be Tucker. I go, that is not Tucker, because that... No way. It was way too heavy to be Tucker. It wasn't a deer and it wasn't a bear, because I hunt. I know those sounds. It wasn't either or.
Okay.
So she comes running around the truck. I grab her head cam or her headlight thing and flash it over to the woods. And when we did, it was like at least, I would say, in between 8 to 10 feet tall.
Really?
It had to be.
Okay.
Yeah, big, like broad. You know what I mean?
Big,
nothing,
yeah.
Yeah. It looked at us. We looked at it, and it just... squatted down. I mean,
like it wanted to hide.
Yeah, it's like because we surprised it. I don't think it was expecting a bright light. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
I think it thought it was safe in the shadows of the woods, not thinking that we would have a light. You know, so then it was kind of weird. But then we sat there for a minute. We were both like, I go, did you see that? She goes, yeah. I go, what was that? You know, because I mean, when you first see it, you're like, what is that? You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And I was like, oh man, that was crazy because it was brown, it was hairy. I mean, hairy. You could just see it. So then...
What kind of hair? Was it mangy or was it clean
it was like,
hair?
No, it was like it... something like, you know, like furry, like scruffy, like
okay.
Sticking up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like not normal, like a bear has a smooth
right.
coat.
Okay.
It's not like that. Not
okay.
at all. Okay.
Yep.
So anyway, so we sat there for a minute and the dog, they were both flipping out. So we turned around, we decided we were going to go back down the bottom because we were both freaked out by what we had just saw anyway.
Sure.
So we decided to go back down the bottom. We go down the bottom. We had to keep going back up the top. So when we went back up the top again, neither one of us wanted to get out of the truck.
Sure.
Yeah, so we rolled down the window. We were like calling for Tucker, but you could hear this thing. It was walking the perimeter. Like if you've been up the parking lot, so you know it's an oval perimeter.
So it was walking around you.
Around in the woods.
After the sighting?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was up
okay.
there. So we had put Copper in the truck with us.
Okay.
So Copper was in the truck with us, and his hair was standing on end. He was growling at the woods, you know what I mean? The girl dog was in the back. She was growling. Everything was, they were both growling.
Wow.
So we were like, and then that just freaked me out. I was like.
Now, was it the same heavy footsteps around?
Yeah, going around.
So it wasn't like what you were hearing later, could have been something skittering around back there.
No, this was purposely walking around, like from one side of the horseshoe shape to the other. You could hear it moving along the wood line, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Like just doing whatever it was doing.
Did you smell anything? And I don't want to put any ideas in your head, but did you?
No, because we were in the truck, so really, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a big. I don't think I did, no.
Okay.
No, not so much.
Did it make any grunting sounds right then? Was there anything that you could. The reason I asked.
There was all kinds of noise. Like, you'd hear it walking, and then you'd hear this, like, it was like a deep. Like a grumble, like a, you know what I mean, like in the woods, but nothing like it didn't holler, it didn't yell, anything like that.
So was it a mumbling or kind of a low? Mm,
yeah, like, it was like a, you know what I mean.
Interesting.
You hear footsteps, so.
Okay.
All right. So then we went back down the bottom to look for Tucker again, and normally Tucker is the type of dog wherever you cast him at, he comes back there.
Okay.
That's where he comes.
The
you know
starting
I mean?
Off
so,
point,
yeah,
the
so
casting
if you let him go,
point,
it
right.
doesn't matter where it is. He can run for 3 miles. That's where he's coming back.
Okay, yeah.
So we knew that, like, no matter what, even though he was off the GPS, that if he was coming back, he was coming back
sure.
there.
Sure, yeah.
So we had to keep going back up there as much as we didn't want to at that
right.
point because
right.
we were a little like, I mean, I hunt, and I don't get freaked out by wood, dark, nothing, and that freaked me out. Like, it was weird. It was just really strange. So we went to go up there. Well, Tucker completely avoided going up to the top of the hill.
Okay.
He came completely around, like, the outside of the bottom.
Okay.
Where he normally would have just ran straight up because that's the
made
way
the shortest
out,
point
you know
between
I mean?
Two. Gotcha.
Yeah, he would not come in. When we got him, we started calling him because we seen him coming, heard him coming through the woods. But at the same time, he was coming through the woods when we were coming down the hill slow. Whatever it was walking, like, coincided with us along
wow.
like, when we were coming down. So we opened, I got out of the truck and opened the side door. That dog could not get in that truck.
So
quick
it
enough.
Was paralleling you.
Yes, as we were trying
okay.
to find.
Okay, I've heard
him.
That before. So
yeah,
as you're
was,
on the trail,
yes,
it's kind
it
of
was
paralleling.
Coming with us, but a little bit behind us. When Tucker came in, I opened the side door. Tucker jumped in and cowered in the corner of the back.
How far in would you say
and
it was?
He doesn't even like to get in the back.
Yeah,
of the
I was going to get to that point in a second, but how far in did you would you think it was? 10 feet? 15,
no,
20?
Maybe if you're lucky, like 10 feet. If I had to get, because the way you could hear the steps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was close enough for you to hear it, like heavy steps.
Moonlight? moonlight?
Yeah, it was, I don't know if it was a full moon or like a half moon. It was bright out.
Yeah.
It was bright out in the field. When
okay.
We were out in the field hollering to Tucker. So.
Now, Tucker, is he your blue healer? Is he the big lead dog?
No, he's the white and tan one out there.
Okay, so.
Like the black and tan one out there.
But he would normally just jump in the box.
Yeah, he doesn't ride in the back of the truck. And he jumped in the back of the truck and cowered in that
He broke
corner.
All the rules and was like, I don't care.
He was like,
do what you're gonna do. Do what you're gonna do. Interesting. Interesting. So is there anything else, you know, I know that you've had experiences in Macon, Georgia. I want to focus on this one right now.
Yep.
But what do you remember the most about that night? And I like to ask people that because there's always something in a traumatic experience or something that happens, like, you know, a soldier will tell you this or somebody who goes through something traumatic. I don't want to say traumatic. It might not be that bad. But what do you remember the most, if you could think of something?
If I remember them, what do I remember the most?
Anything that sticks out?
Probably, I mean, when it came crashing through the woods and she thought it was her dog and I told her it wasn't. Now, normally, if it was a deer or a bear, it would have took off because they would be just as scared of you as you were.
Oh, absolutely.
It didn't take off. It stayed there. And even after the fact that we had gone down to the bottom and come back up, it was still out there along the perimeter of that circle. Like, it didn't go anywhere. It stayed.
Now, let me ask you this question because it probably felt safe that I would guess. It knows the woods and it knows
right.
how far to stay away from
exactly.
people. And more than likely, that area, it knows people are around. It
uh-huh.
might not have known you were there. Do
right.
you feel like it was tracking your dogs?
I don't know that. I don't know what it was doing. I don't know. But I know Tucker was freaked out.
Okay.
And Tucker's normally not a dog that freaks out. He'll go for miles and he don't care. Like every time I've ever gone hunting with her, he'll just go. He'll just go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he always comes back to wherever we let him go. That's, we always have to go to him. He don't come to us. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So... Yeah, and he wanted nothing to do with the top of that hill at all.
And so you did hear some sounds leading up to that kind of like lower kind of sounds. I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but you kind of expressed
exactly.
that. Before you saw what you saw, how long had time had transpired between what you thought might be the vocals and the event where you actually saw?
Well, when we first got up there and we first let the dogs go, that was before the cops came, right?
Yeah.
So, and
yep.
that was... Guy was there with us at that point, and it
sure.
was whatever, like I said, it sounded kind of like a screech owl, like the yells, but it wasn't, it was a deeper, it wasn't
yeah.
an owl, you knew it wasn't an owl,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And me and Michaela were both like, what is that? Guy's like, I don't know, I never heard something like that. So then the cop came, and then we had gone down to about, I'd say probably like 10 or 15 minutes between the time we heard the hollers, because we had gone back up and walked out into the field and were yelling for him, for Tucker.
Sure, sure.
Trying to get him to come back, because neither the other two dogs would hunt.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say like 10 or 15 minutes maybe before we had come back up to the top and went to the bathroom and flashed the light and saw that.
Are you certain there was only one?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but...
Is what you heard was one. So you didn't hear moving here and then moving
no,
here at
uh-uh.
the same time?
No, nope.
The reason I ask is because a lot of times there will be, you know, more than one together.
Yeah.
From what I hear, I haven't had
but
a
sighting
myself.
But I mean, like
myself.
I said, when we were sitting up the top, you could hear something walk in the perimeter. So was there more than one? Could have been. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know that we heard that one coming in. It was no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. That was not a deer or a bear. I know I hunt for years. I know
that's fascinating, and it's hard to find people who will actually come out and say, I'm really thankful that you folks have done that. And do you know anybody else in the area that has had those experiences?
No.
Yeah. I'm not asking you on audio to tell me. I'm just wondering if you had any kind of... Okay.
I don't know. Like, not off the top of my head.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate this.
Yeah,
let's go ahead, and I'm going to figure out how to turn this off and work my own... There we go. We're done. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. So I thought for a long time about how to wrap this interview up and how to segue into the next interview. And I realized if I do that, then what I'm going to do is kind of taint your perspective of the second interview. So I think at this point, I'm just going to introduce the next interview. We'll compare and contrast the two. And then go on to the third interview from there. So the person we're listening to now is Michaela Wood. Again, she had the same sighting. She was with her mother up in Betty's Neck in Lakeville, Massachusetts on the same night. They witnessed the same thing. And again, listen to the inflection in her voice when she talks about this. I want to set this up real quickly, though. Michaela is a young girl. She is very excited about what she saw. And you'll hear some nervousness at the beginning of the interview. give her a break on that, because she's definitely telling the story. And as she gets into that, you'll see that she's got the right demeanor for getting that point across. So you'll hear those things, but as the story goes out, it definitely smooths out and she starts to relax a little bit. So without any further delay, this will be Michaela Wood and the second interview in Lakeville, Mass at Betty's Neck. All right, so here we are, interview number two, part two of the Lakeville Betty's Neck sighting a couple of months ago by Denise and Michaela Wood. And we'll just get right to it. Michaela, go ahead and tell me what happened leading up to it, during and after, and we'll go from there.
All right, so it was probably like, I'd say around 12 o'clock, we came down to Betty's Neck because our normal hunting spot, we weren't having any luck.
Sure.
So we got there. Within maybe 3 to 5 minutes of being there, we had an officer show up. He told us that we were going to have, that they had some kind of sensors and trail cams that they actually monitor the area, and that we should be safe because we had dogs with us, which I kind of thought off the bat that was a little odd wording. Maybe he knew something was up after, you know, me and Mom kind of both had a
what was he feeling. What was he doing during that time that made you think?
He actually didn't ever, like, make eye contact, which, I don't know, being a people person, I think that's the best way to talk to someone. He instead kind of scanned the woods, wouldn't step away from his car, which I know that's typical practice.
Seemed a little nervous?
But, you know,
or
he just seemed kind of on edge a little bit.
Okay.
He didn't seem right to me.
Okay, so go ahead.
So we talked to him for a little bit. He gave us the okay to go ahead and hunt, told us we'd be good because we had dogs, whatever. So we casted the dogs, which is letting them go.
Sure.
We had, within instantly, my young female got back in the box, which is very unlike, you know, anything that dogs normally do.
Okay.
And my other male took off down the road, and the third dog sat with me, watching the woods line and kind of taking, like, deep growls under his breath.
Did you notice that during that time, or just remembering it afterwards, kind of?
No, he was definitely, it was obvious during that time. He's kind of my go-to for knowing if something's up.
Is this Tucker?
So I kinda, no, that's Copper.
Copper, okay.
Tuck's the one that took off. So.
Okay.
He kind of watched the woods, which was kind of weird. So we let Tuck go for a little bit. We were watching him. And then Guy decided he was going to go down fishing. So at that point, we were like, oh, we'll come down with you, whatever. Tuck's running.
Sure.
No big deal. So we got like halfway down the bog, and my whole tracking system just totally wiped Tuck off. It kept telling me that it needed to have a user pin put in, which is weird because I'm the user, and the pin that I have, it wouldn't accept.
Sure.
So it took him totally off. So at that point, I'm kind of like, what the heck? So Guy went one way to look for him. We went the other way. Long story short, we beat Guy back up. So
okay.
We're
so you're back at the.
We're back. We went back up to the parking lot
to the parking
where we camped.
This time. Okay.
So we're sitting back at the parking lot. Both Mom and I decided we needed to use the restroom. So we both jumped out. Mom jumped out, and then I jumped out after her. And I went around her side of the truck because I didn't feel comfortable. The woods on the other side just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Has it always been that way, or just kind of?
I don't know. I just had that weird feeling.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
It's never been an issue.
Okay.
So I came around, and I pointed out to Mom I thought that Tuck was coming through the woods.
Yep.
And I don't think it was Tuck because there was no light, and it was definitely louder than what Tuck would have been. It was definitely a heavy, more consistent stride than what a dog would have been.
Was it like a person walking, or was it more like you couldn't tell, but it was just heavy?
You just couldn't tell. It was just a heavy-sounding body.
Okay.
So whatever it was continued to kind of loop around. And that's where we shined it over in, like, the briar patch there.
Yeah.
And when Mom shined it, it had yellow eye shine, and it was easily, like, 7 feet tall. It was, like, mangy looking to me. It didn't have, like, that smooth coat that you would see in, like, a bear or,
now,
like.
Now, how, because I asked your mom the same question. The fur, how would you describe it exactly?
Like, almost unkept, like that scruffy,
Okay. Wild
looking, like mangy.
Yeah, that's consistent with what she said.
Yeah,
okay.
It definitely wasn't like a silky coat, like something you would see in like a bear or something,
right.
Like, you know, a cat,
right.
Like a large cat or something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
So when Mom shined it, it squatted down and it just sat there.
Okay.
Which was kind of odd. So at that point, me and Mom were like super freaked out.
How long did it sit there? Do you remember before you lost sight of it?
I mean, it sat, and at that point, I was really freaked out. I just wanted to get out of there. So we turned like we were going to head back out, and that was when Guy came up and met us, and we were talking, and we started telling him what we saw. And at first, he didn't believe us, and then he was kind of like, well, you know, it could be true. So then the minute he left, my truck had been off, but once he left, that's when the creature moved.
Okay, I was going to ask you that question because your mom said that. I'm trying to see where this is
going. Yeah, what it did was it almost, from what it sounded like to me, it sounded like he turned and walked back into the woods.
Okay.
From there.
Okay.
So he did that. We took off back down the hill. So we went and sat because I wasn't comfortable going back up to the parking lot.
Sure.
So we sat. There's a point where you can kind of see the woods. So we watched the woods from there, waiting for Tuck to come back.
Yeah.
Which is really unlike him to run that long without hunting or anything.
And how long was he gone then? Because you lost him on the GPS.
It
had
probably
been
like a 45-minute span between everything. Like from the time we lost him to the time we saw the creature and all that.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because that was my next question. So how long did the event happen?
It was probably over.
I forgot to ask your mother that, so thank you.
I'd say like between like 45 minutes, but I forgot to add too, like right before we saw him, before we had used the restroom, we had been calling for Tuck.
Yeah.
When we got up to the parking lot. So I think that's kind of important considering we were yelling for him.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's important.
So
he finally comes back.
So he didn't come right back. We, at that point, you know, Guy was like, maybe you should just kind of suck it up and go back up to the top of the parking lot.
Yeah.
So we went up there. I didn't see anything right away, but I still had that feeling like something
now,
was
did
off.
You got out of the truck after you saw the Squatch?
No.
Oh, okay. That was
we
my
drove
question.
Back up and rolled
drove
the windows
back up. Gotcha. No, yeah, okay. All right.
So we went up there, nothing. Didn't see the dog, didn't see the creature, nothing like that. So we started to drive back down the road, and my mother pointed out that the blue light was following us, which is we use a locator light on the dog's collar to show them. And it was almost like he was being chased by something.
Okay. You know what? I asked your mom that, too, and she said she wasn't sure. So I want to get your perspective on that. Do you feel like it was following him, and did it come around from the same way he eventually came out of? Or
he came from the way it looks to me that he ran, because we had seen him at the very tip where we were sitting, and that was one of the reasons we went up to the parking lot.
Sure, sure.
So it was like he almost came along where we originally saw the Squatch, and then he had came. I think he had heard us leaving, because they're actually, the dogs will recognize the sound of your truck and come to it.
Okay.
So I think he kind of realized, hey, my owner's leaving, and, like, hightailed it out of there.
Okay.
But it was almost in the sense of, like, he was not moving the way he should have been. Like, he should have been kind of more nonchalant about it, not, like...
So he was clearly
winded when we picked him up.
Okay.
Which is very... I mean, you've seen him yourself. He's very athletic.
Yeah, he's a strong dog.
He can hunt usually 4, 5, 6 hours easily
before he
and
gets
not
really
have
tired.
Any issue. And he was, like... The way he kind of showed up was like something had followed him or freaked him out. So Mom had jumped out, and he jumped in the truck, which is a no-no. They ride
sure,
in the bed of
sure,
the truck.
Sure, she mentioned that too.
Yeah, they don't do that. They're not
but
allowed.
But he didn't care.
He didn't care. He was getting in the truck. So
he
jumped right in over the seat, no problem, and sat in the back of the seat with like up against the, you know, the back window whimpering.
Sure.
Which is not at all like him. Like, I'm pretty sure he would... hunt a bear or a big cat. Like, he's not a wimp.
So at this point, you've got all your dogs.
I had all my dogs.
Now, which way were you facing? Were you facing toward that trail, or did you back into the lot?
We were at the exit. We were we actually picked him up towards the end,
gotcha.
Kind of near the main entrance.
Okay, gotcha.
And at that point, we were like, we got the dog, I'm out.
Now,
so we went home.
Did you hear during that time any calls or grunting noises or anything?
Just the original, when we pulled up, we had heard the weird, like an almost a whooping howl that we kind of all just shrugged it off and was like, oh, maybe it's some sort of screech owl. Well, no big deal. I never thought really anything of it, but it kind of, me and Mom both questioned, like, it didn't sound like an owl. I mean, I really like.
But in
owls.
Hindsight, you're questioning it even
yeah,
more.
Like, especially now, like, with everything, you know, looking back at it, I'm definitely sure it was not an owl.
Okay. Okay, so now another question I have is about your dogs, because I'm interested in this. I was thinking about this today. How are they about being outdoors now? They live outside.
Mm-hmm.
They work outside. Have you noticed any behavioral differences, especially with Copper or Tuck?
Well, I haven't run Annie since, because she's actually bred at the moment.
Okay.
Tuck is the kind of dog that I don't think something like that sets him back in his hunting.
Okay.
But to be honest, I never really actually thought about it until
now.
But Copper's kind of, he hasn't really hunted much since.
Now, is that because he doesn't want to, or you just haven't taken him out?
No, I've taken him out, and he just hasn't had, like, the go, like,
the same
drive to go.
That's
so
interesting. Well, dogs are smart.
I could have had something to do with it. He wants to more stay with me, even down our normal spot. I haven't brought him back there by no means.
Well, I wouldn't overthink it, but that's definitely
but
something.
But I mean, that's
to...
something that could just be a, you know, a training issue. It
sure.
Could be, you know.
Sure.
I wouldn't read too much into it.
So, what have you done as far as like thinking back on what's been going on, what happened before, during, and after, and I asked your mom the same question, what is the thing that sticks out the most about the encounter? I won't put any ideas in your head. Just, you know, just throw them out there.
I mean, the thing that sticks out the most is just the behaviors of my dogs. I knew that there was definitely something wrong. I spend hours a week working and training my dogs, and the way they behave that night is just not anything I've ever seen them do.
Okay.
Ever.
And you're going to go back there to hunt?
It's not on my list of places to go to anytime soon.
Okay, so that makes sense because you've got a lot of other places to hunt. All right, so I want to ask you a couple of questions, and I appreciate this. Thank you very much. The second part of this, I want to talk a little bit about the psychology of an event like this, because I believe that people could have like a post-traumatic stress disorder kind of event. You know, this is huge, right?
Yeah.
So you see something you've never seen before. You have no reference for it. Like, you can't say, oh, that's an ape, that's a, you know, because you've never seen this thing, right? So is there anything, you know, did you have trouble sleeping afterwards, sleep patterns changing? Were you irritable?
I mean, when I came home, I had no intentions of going to bed. I think I woke everyone up in the house and told them what I had seen.
Sure.
And, I mean, that night I definitely didn't sleep. I kind of just kept playing it over and over in my head and, like, thinking, what could it have been? What was it? You know, this is definitely different.
Question yourself.
Yeah,
am I crazy?
Like, am I not? It's like, have I actually lost it?
Right, right.
But, I mean, now that I look back on it, I definitely think that's not the case.
any dreams? Anything like that?
Nothing really. Nothing that stands out by no means.
Okay.
No.
Just kind of pops in from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, you know, well, if someone mentions going down there to hunt, I'm definitely partial to going other places.
When we're done with this interview, are you going to go walk down that country road by yourself?
Probably not. No.
I don't blame you.
No.
I don't blame you.
So, not on my to-do list.
Is there anything that you would want somebody to know about your experience that, you know, you could tell them? There's a car coming down the road. Hold on one second.
I don't know what that is. Where are we at?
So again, just for the listeners, we had to stop for a second. There was a car coming through. So after this experience, would you want to have it again?
Honestly, I would be a little freaked out, but I kind of wouldn't mind seeing it again. Like, I think more to, like, confirm what I saw.
Yeah,
I would love to see it again just from... I'm kind of into that stuff, and now that, like, since it happened to me, I've kind of been looking a little more into other people with, like, you know, Sasquatch sightings, so I'd love to, you know, see it again and see how it stacked up to what I saw that
All right, time. Well, maybe we'll go squatching at some point, but anyway, I appreciate it. Michaela, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time, and maybe we'll be in touch.
Awesome.
Thank you. So, Michaela had mentioned that she would potentially want to go back and have another sighting. And God bless her, but I'm going to have to second guess her on that because I was there at the site. I'd been there during the day, and then they were kind enough to bring me back at night. And I've got to tell you that she was visibly shaken. You were looking at somebody that had definitely seen something that had rocked her quite a bit. She was uncomfortable with us, with the doors open, the windows down. We sat there for... you know, a good 20 minutes or so, just kind of looking and listening. I went out, there was an open field, a meadow there, and I kind of checked things out and, you know, went to the tree where they had the actual visual sighting. And I got to tell you, you know, it took a lot of courage. I'm really glad she did that. So thank you, Michaela. I appreciate that. So looking at both of the interviews, I think you're going to see some similarities. Now, there's some differences in the exact height of the Sasquatch. There's some differences in the time frame on things. That can be forgiven because I think everybody's perspective on how and when things happen will be a little bit different. But what I look for are certain things. So details, for example, the Squatch coming in, not leaving. The Squatch moving around to the front of the car in the manner that they both said it did. And then where they actually viewed it. And then at two different points, so Denise says that this Sasquatch was kind of going around the perimeter of the parking lot, staying off in the trees. Michaela says the same thing, and what's weird is, I don't know if anybody caught that, But all of a sudden, there's someone, his name is Guy, that comes into the picture. He's an older gentleman that happens to do coon hunting with him. And her injection of him into the story kind of made me go, okay, well, what's going on around here? But if you listen to what she says in conjunction with bringing him in, after Guy left, we heard whatever this was in the brush, kind of moving around in the brush. That correlates with what her mother said. Now, her mother might have left the Guy detail out, and I think that might be because she kind of took for granted that that's who was always there. So it's hard to get that description out to somebody who wasn't actually on site at the time. So those are interesting points. I think those are the ones that cross over. Again, there are certain things that don't match up, but I think they necessarily wouldn't match up, especially like the time concept. That can be quite a big difference. But I want you to keep a couple of things in mind as we go into the interview with Tony. This is important because I need you to keep in mind the characteristics of what Tony's seeing, of what he can't see physically, but he sees off in the brush, and he's going to talk about eyeshine, and what Michaela mentions specifically with regard to eyeshine and also the movement of what this creature was doing. And Denise said the movement as well. She didn't describe the eyeshine, I don't believe. But anyway, without any further delay, let's get into the third interview, and I'll kind of tie things up, and hopefully at the end of that, you know, like I said, we'll have a great story and another credible Sasquatch sighting. All right, so we are speaking to Tony Dias. He, I guess this is part three of the Lakeville Betty's Neck interview. I didn't anticipate this, but Vinny and Michaela were kind enough to bring him in. I guess he had a sighting of something similar, and when he found out that Michaela and Denise had the sighting, then he came forward. He actually walked us down. You guys will see the video on the website. He took us over to the spot where the sighting happened. So I figured I'd ask him, Tony, to just kind of walk through again, you know, beginning, middle, end of how everything worked. Don't leave anything out. If I have any questions, I'll just pop in. So. All right, you're up.
All right, so me and my buddy, we got home, and we figured we were bored, so we figured we'd go check the field, see if there were any deer out there.
Yeah.
And we came down out to the woods. We seen bright yellow shining eyes on the edge of the woods near the woods line. So we stopped and wait there, watched it for a little while. And then as we were sitting there and waiting, it'd poke one eye at us like it was peeking at us, and then it'd go back. Then it'd poke two out and peek at us, and go back and move up and down as his head was moving up, and you could see his eyes moving back and forth.
Was it bobbing up and down and side to side?
Yeah, it was going up and down and side to side.
So like swaying or kind of a jerking motion? Okay, okay.
And so we put the truck in neutral, and we rolled down, and as we were rolling down, we revved it a little bit, and the whole time we were rolling down, it just keep peeking out at us and moving up and down and side to side. So then we got to just about a little bit more than the middle of the field, and it just disappeared.
Okay.
So we threw it in reverse, and we got out of there because we didn't know what was happening. We didn't know if he was coming after us. He was looping around the woods or something.
Sure.
So then as we were leaving, and when we hit the brake lights, you could see a little bit more of his eyes, but we just left after that.
Like he was watching you leave?
Yeah.
And how long did the whole thing take?
It took about 20 minutes. We sat there watching him.
How'd that make you feel? Were you just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it was weird. It was just how it was staying there and just going back and forth. Like, we kind of figured it being like a deer or something, but why would it be doing, like, the head motions and stuff like that? And why wouldn't it run? Because we were revving the engine.
Yeah, deers are pretty skittish that way. But I don't know, like, what the yellow eye shine compared to what a deer's eye shine are. The side-to-side movements and up-and-down movements are interesting to me. They are pretty consistent with some things, but is there anything else? Now, who was it that was with you?
My buddy Travis.
Okay, your buddy Travis, and I'm trying to think. I mean, this sounds like a pretty short sighting. You had the yellow eye shine. Did you hear anything? Did it make any noise? Or
it would just brush crashing every time it like moved every once in a while.
So you could actually hear that brush crashing. So where you walked over to where those hedgerows were at the end of that meadow, it was like kind of a sway crashing through that?
Yeah.
Did it make any vocal sounds or grunting or anything?
No, we didn't hear nothing like that.
So there's nothing to make you feel it was
displeased or irritated or anything?
No.
Okay, so he's just checking you out. Okay. Have you heard, have you ever seen anything like that before? Or?
No, that's the first time I've ever seen it.
Yeah, okay. And you said, okay, so you said it was there about 20 minutes. You know, I think that's all. I think I just kind of wanted to get this interview because we've gotten Michaela and Denise, and we're fortunate that you were here tonight because, you know, this is one more to kind of add to it. So I'm starting to get a good feeling about this place. So anyway, appreciate it. Hope you don't mind if I post this.
That's fine.
And talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
All right. So from my standpoint in putting this story together and conducting this interview is gold. Because it absolutely, in my mind, ties the whole story together. Had we not had this interview, it was kind of a fortunate accident, things may look a little bit different. But even though this story and this interview kind of hit me blindside, we were able to glean some facts that are kind of pertinent to the other two and to the other two stories. And here's what I mean. Tony had mentioned a couple of things that caught my ear, and one, first of all, was the eye shine. He didn't say eye shine, he said yellow eye shine. And if you listen to Michaela's story, it's the same thing. She says yellow eye shine, he says yellow eye shine. Both Michaela and Denise say that the supposed Sasquatch dropped down to kind of hide from them in what a position it thought it might be hiding. If you listen to Tony, this creature with the yellow eye shine would poke out at them, poke the eyes out, I think he said peek out, and then drop down and pop up and then sway side to side. If his story is true, and I don't have any reason to believe that it isn't, again, watching his demeanor, the way he told the story, he's a very matter-of-fact guy, soft-spoken. He only has something to say when it's necessary. So I'm looking at all these things and how this story ties to the others. And again, you can rewind the podcast and go listen. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But this is very compelling evidence to what I would say is a credible sighting. So I'm fortunate that he stepped forward. I'm also fortunate that Michaela actually reached out to me. I put a shout out on Facebook to anybody in the New England area that had a sighting. And her response to me was simply, I've seen one. That's it. There was no elaboration. That intrigued me. I contacted her. Here we are today. So again, Michaela, Denise, Tony, thank you so much for coming forward and telling your story. It was a compelling one. It was unbelievable. And I'll probably join you all to do some squatching in the future. So, and for those of you listening, thank you so much. Again, this is podcast one of hopefully many of Bigfoot Ground Zero. If you have any questions you want to contact me, feel free to email me at bigfootgroundzero@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.